As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. Thanks to everyone who's been tuning in and enjoying it. Really appreciate you for that. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor, and he's been a managing editor here before, but now he's just a guy who finds guns in his walls when he's remodeling his old house. He's Spokane Brandon.
Yeah, I always forget about that.
And I always remind you.
Yeah, you do. It's like every single week, I'm like, oh yeah, I do have a gun that I found in my wall.
Did you keep it?
Oh yeah, of course.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
like, how do you think I killed the
I am I probably can't say that.
Just beep all that, no big deal. Neither of us is a scientist, engineers. Potentially we are supervillains.
Sounds like it.
If you are a scientist or engineer, let us know what we get right, or potentially, more likely I should say, what we get wrong.
Yeah.
If you could tell a friend, write a review on Apple Podcasts, that helps out a ton. If you're listening to this on demand, we appreciate that. If you're listening to this live on the Odyssey app, even cooler. Thank you so much for that. And if you would just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week.
Yeah, this episode's question of the week is, what else should we turn into milk? And I didn't know that, like, the way that this question is phrased makes it sound like we're turning a lot of stuff into milk. You got oats, you got your almonds, you got your, which apparently is not milk, it's almond beverage. You got your soy. Like, we're turning lots of stuff into, you
hemp,
know, milk,
cashew. Milk,
yeah, there you go. All sorts of things. My toes. And I guess I just like actual milk, I suppose, like milk, yeah. milk, yeah. Like that comes from the teats of mammals. I wonder, like, at what point does it become milk, you know? Like it starts out as all of these, like, and it just gets gross the more you think about it, but like it starts out as a bunch of like fluids and proteins and stuff in the body, and then at some point all of that stuff is like coagulated together, and then it becomes what we would call milk. And I don't know, you know,
it shoots out a teat.
Yeah, so I just, my question is, when is milk? It's we have a lot of beverage questions on this show. Like, what is root beer, and when is milk?
What do you think? Like, We'll get to it.
Like maybe when it comes. Okay, check it out. Somebody, we asked a question of the week last week, and the question of the week was, are electric vehicles actually good? Yeah. And somebody responded.
Hey, look at you.
Yeah. So on Twitter, Newchims reached out to us and said, Gregor and Brandon, for Nerd Talk question of the week, electric cars are amazing to own and operate on the West Coast. Tell you what,
great point.
Yeah, I think that where I live is technically West Coast. I'm in Washington State, but I'm on the east side of the state. I don't know that there's a lot of infrastructure for electrical vehicles, but
we've already established the fact that you found a gun in your wall as people a reason why there might not be a lot of infrastructure.
Yeah, people just guessed where I lived. We own a Tesla. This guy says we own a Tesla, and I just drove it from Seattle to Southern California on the and the longest charge time. And I think what he's talking about is the amount of time it took to charge was 45 minutes, and that allowed for a good break in driving. It's also amazing. He gave us a lot. He said, it's also amazing to get stuck in traffic. The cruise control and lane assist makes the brake and accelerator switching to minimal. Lessens my traffic anxiety so much. When you connect to your phone, you can control a lot of things from it. So like, you know, a lot of cars these days will have their proprietary apps. But I think that a lot of electrical vehicles are doing it better than like, you do it, download the, you know, car brand app that connects to your car and it's supposed to be able to remote start, and it never does, even though I set up the freaking subscription 9 times. 2021 Toyota Highlander.
My Subaru one works so good, dude. Oh, I like, cool. Love it. I start it all the time from before I go out at like 4:55 in the morning before I get in my car. I'm like, we're gonna start you up so I don't have to think about it.
Well, there's a, did you know there's a dealer hack? I think we've talked about this before. There's like a dealer car remote hack that is supposedly like, you know, a lot of cars. First of all, BMW is apparently supposed to be, and this is not slag off BMW. I used to have one. I love it. But they have a supposed new feature, quote unquote, of BMW is that you have to pay a subscription in order to use your heated seats.
Isn't that whack?
But so my father-in-law has this car, and it was one of those things where it has remote start. It's built into it. It's got the technology to be able to do the remote start. Yet you had to be able, you had to pay the subscription in order to use the remote start, which to me seems ridiculous, right?
Yeah. Shout out to our pal Siege. He had the same thing where I was like, can you remote start this thing? And he was like, oh, I stopped paying for that because that sucks.
If Siege is listening, use this. This is this dealer hack. I've checked it on my Toyota. I've checked it on my father-in-law's Lexus. I've checked it on other people's vehicles as well. You take the remote, if it's like a keyless entry car, right? And I don't know if it's specific to key. I would imagine it have to be. You have to have the key in order to start the car, right? But you take the remote and you hit the lock button. You go lock, lock, and then the third time you hold it. And you hold it until the lights flash on the vehicle, and then it will start. So apparently it's something that they use at like car dealerships in order to remote start cars and melt off the snow and whatever is on them, especially here where I live. But yeah, it's a really cool thing. But anyway, Nugem says that he likes the app. He likes to, he said, while it's charging, you can work on your Duolingo language learning while sitting in your Tesla, Gregor.
I do that, as he's pointing out, I do that all the time. So that's what I was, the one time I had a Tesla for a week, I did that.
Not only did he respond to the question of this week, we also ask you to hit us up on Twitter or wherever and tell us what we get right and what we get wrong. And he did this the solid of telling us what we got wrong. And he said, one more thing. Helium is after hydrogen, the size of atomic makeup, not carbon, which is sixth on the periodic table. So apparently carbon is not the smallest lightest.
Hydrogen is the smallest.
Yeah, yeah, but
No. That's what I was saying, is because it's liquid hydrogen that they fill up the... If I said helium by mistake, my bad, I put my hand up, but liquid hydrogen is the leak that they had on that rocket. But I'm just a simple, dumb man who does not understand rocketry, so don't turn to me for this, obviously a non-expert. But we really appreciate that feedback. I really... I dig it. Like, I think that if you own a... This is the distinction for an electric car. If you own a home where you can plug your car in and wander away for the night or whatever, I think it's amazing.
Yeah, it's got to be perfect for that.
If you have a apartment, I don't know what you would do other than forgive me, I don't know exactly how this works, but with the batteries in these cars, like if you're going to go and rapid charge, like he's saying to do when you do it with your Tesla and you're driving across the country and you just stop for 45 minutes to recharge the batteries, that's like a super quick power transition that it does, and it's tough on the batteries. It has to, like, you tell it that you're going to it, and it starts conditioning the batteries to be ready to accept that much charge. So I don't think you could do it every night, much like you can't have a supercharger at home unless you probably have the Tesla Powerwall. Maybe you could, but it's too much power in your house to be able to go in that. You need, like, a specifically built $75,000 charging station, which is nuts. And so,
I learned about this problem or this phenomenon that exists with Teslas, and because I was on YouTube and it was down some rabbit hole. Apparently, there's this, like, this thing that you'll be at a charger charging your Tesla, and anybody can walk up and be like, "Hey, that's my Tesla," even though you're sitting in your car in your Tesla, and they'll be like, "You're in my Tesla." And you'll be like, no, it's not your Tesla. This is my Tesla. And they'll be like, no, this is mine. It's the same color of the one that I have that was stolen. Like, you're in my car. And I don't know, like, why this, but, like, you know, if I drive a Toyota Highlander that's blue, and somebody, and I've seen other ones that look exactly like it in my town, and I've even, like, accidentally gotten into somebody else's car thinking it was mine. They left it unlocked. Okay. And
that's on them.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, so it's all cars. So many cars are like this, right? Like, they have the same exact, they look the same. If it's the same car, same color, all that, like, it's going to look the same. So it's an easy mistake. But, like, why, like, would you, I guess there's, like, some sort of, like, scam where, like, people are scamming Tesla owners out of, like, this is my car. You mean this thing I just got from this? Are you sure? Okay, here.
First of all, I'm sure this problem does not happen in Texas or in Florida.
Or Spokane, where the guns are in the walls.
Yeah, of the car. Yeah. Anyway, this episode of Nerd Talk Plus, not officially brought to you by the Toyota Highlander.
It's not. I have one. It does not have guns in the walls, though.
Well, lovely. Okay, great.
Yeah.
German scientists have made a tattoo ink that changes color based on your glucose levels in your blood. I feel like this is, as a side note, this is how vampires could tell if we're ripe. They, like, walk by and they're like... Nope, not quite ripe yet. Let's move on to the next one. And you're like, why are you sniffing me, you weirdo? That's like, oh, Biden, didn't he do the sniffing?
Dude, he was smelling for your blood sugar.
How do you think he's so old and still in charge?
Yeah, this would be like a good, I guess if you have diabetes and you're like if you, whatever the, I think is type 1 diabetes, where your blood sugar is usually too low, be like, oh man, I gotta get that diabetes and stay away from the vampires.
Is that how that works? Yeah. Is that what it is? Like, how do I get that diabetes? Hey, cut out part of my pancreas. I need to keep the vampires at bay.
You know how if it's peach season right now, and in order to tell if, like, a peach is good, you one way that you can do it, don't squeeze it because you'll just bruise it. So as somebody who used to sell fruit on Pike Place Market in Seattle, like, please don't squeeze the fruit. It's bad for the fruit.
What?
Yeah. But
not the fruit part, not the squeezing the fruit part. You used to do what?
Yeah, I used to sell fruit on Pike Place Market. I was the fruit guy.
Pike Place Market, for anyone that's not been to Seattle, is like the big market along the water where there's all different types of wares. It's a multi-story thing. It's a tourist trap. It's wonderful because the food and fruit and everything is amazing.
Yeah, it's like a big permanent farmer's market, kind of. And then you get a bunch of, like, local and you know, orchards and things like that will come through and sell their stuff there.
Flowers and whatnot and everything. So,
yeah.
But you used to be a fruit salesman?
Yeah, I used to hawk fruit. I'd stand there for like 10 hours a day with no breaks and smell the hom bao down the street and not be able to go get it because, again, no breaks. And would sell fruit. I'd sell peaches and tell people. So if you ever, like, want to know about, like, what fruit in which quantity you can take on an airplane... let me know, because I actually know. Or on a cruise ship. You got a lot of people coming in off of cruise ships. It was awesome. It was a great job.
What fruit can I not take on a cruise ship if I come to town, Brandon?
No, you can take most fruits on a cruise ship, but you can't take, like, a box, like a case of fruit. In like, you can take fruit onto your airplane, especially if you're traveling internationally, you can even take fruit. But the way that it's packaged and, like, the quantity in which that you can take is very limited. Most of the time, it has to be, like, consumed on the plane.
How do I tell what a good peach is?
Well, you smell the crack. You where the stem is, you smell it, you give it a sniff, and if it's very aromatic, if it smells like a peach, it usually means that it's probably ready to eat. Now, the reason I bring this up is because
it might be really easy
to know if a vampire is checking you for ripeness if they got stick their nose up your butt,
smelling your crack. There we go. Okay, yeah. I'll take it. Yeah, because you're describing the peach emoji used for the butt.
Yeah,
and then you smell the crack.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
that's how you know.
Well, I'm sorry I stepped on that. I was not going to let you transition there, but well, I really wish I would have let you go from bat to man.
Another thing.
Pretty good transition joke.
Yeah, it was good. Another thing that brings kind of these things together is that the sugar. Actually, one of the reasons that your farts will smell so bad is because of the amount of sugars in your gut. And so the bacteria, the natural bacteria in your gut that's consuming kind of all of these things and helping you digest and break things down. If you eat a lot of sugar, if you eat a lot of fruit or like really high sugar fruits or foods, you'll actually have worse gas. You probably already know that, but there's the science behind why is that bacteria is eating a lot and creating all of that gas. Now, it does work because if a vampire smells your butt and it smells really bad, it means you've had a lot of sugar. Therefore,
oh, this is a dessert human. I got to point out also for anyone that doesn't know, the same is true for your breath. That if you've consumed a bunch of sugar and you know that you're going to go into a situation where you'll be close talking or whatever, drink a lot of water. Don't necessarily brush away the active bacteria and whatnot, but drink a lot of water to help hydrate and move it on. So that way the bacteria continues to work in your mouth, but it's not busy breaking down sugar.
And it makes the bad smells come out of your butt instead of out of your mouth.
There you go. So this could be a really cool way for people with diabetes to only have to poke their skin once, this tattoo, or multiple times in this case, at one time, instead of multiple times a day. If you look down and, you know, the Godzilla tattoo is greener than normal, then yeah, maybe you just need to eat a Snickers or something. Like, it could be that simple.
I like the idea that that you're just front loading your lifetime of pokes that you have to do to check your blood sugar levels as a diabetic. It's like, no, I'm just gonna, like, would you rather have 1,000 or 1,000,000 pokes throughout your life or just 1,000,000 right now? It's like, yeah, I'll take it right now. And you get a sick, like, tattoo out of it.
My brother, I probably shouldn't share his medical stuff, but he's kind of a dick, so whatever. He has type 1 that he got as an adult after getting an infection in one of his organs, his pancreas that doesn't work right or whatever. And so he ended up as a T1D adult instead of like eating crappy and becoming type 2 later in life or whatever. However that works. I might be getting it backwards, but I think that's what it is. He's got the Jordan Morris one. Okay, so he got that later in life, like in his 40s. And so he's got the pump and the poke and the all that stuff all the time, and he has to manage that. And I was like, oh, even though he's like anti-tattoos, he'd be the perfect person to get one, but what tattoo would this conservative, you know, country club going rich guy get? And I was like, for some reason in my mind I knew it without doubt that it would be Cornholio. But that's he would get,
he's a conservative of a certain age, right? Like, where right. Like Cornholio would be the perfect, like, but when in reality it should just be Hank Hill.
Yeah, oh, I love Hank Hill. I know. I love Cornholio though too, to be
true,
fair. So.
True.
I watched the new Beavis and Butthead movie that came out some months ago, and everyone, I saw like a bunch of like the, you know, the Rolling Stone type things that I read. I don't know which one it was, but a lot of them were like, oh, this is fun. It's totally worth it. And I watched it and I was like, this is horse crap. And I can't believe that anyone likes this. But again, I can imagine my brother being like, Cornholio.
He walks out of it with his, like, he unbuttons his collar of the shirt that he had a tie on and he pulls it over the top of his head. He becomes fancy Cornholio.
Well, what's fancy Cornholio's name?
What would be like what would be like a fancy way of preparing corn?
Yeah, okay.
Like, I feel like, yeah, whatever that is. That's question of the week. What's a fancy way of preparing corn? Because we got to come up with this.
And how do you add holio to that?
Yeah. It's funny to think, like, so this tattoo is like a, or this ink, right, could be more of a, it's like a medical thing, right? So yeah. And they're still probably working on it. And
They've just come up with the ink. I don't think it's like a 40-year tattoo that you're gonna get. It's like a hypercolor shirt that you put in the dryer and it's ruined now.
Yeah,
like
I'm
sure it only works for a while and then it looks bad and then you're like,
oof. Well, but part of what the reason I'm wondering is because like at some point, because it's a medical thing, it's all like tied up into that. And even though it's in Germany, when it comes to the Americas, it's going to be completely tied down by the insurance. And so you're gonna have to start getting your like tattoos approved by your insurance, and so that it like opens up this entire concept of like you're like, well, I really want to get this whale tattoo on my forearm, and your insurance company is like, well, we only cover octopus. And you're like, damn.
If you look at your list of covered animals, the cephalopod is the only thing that's on there for sea life.
They're going to be like, you actually have to get your, I mean, realistically, it'll be like, you have to get your type of diabetes tattooed on you. Or you get like Jordan Morris's sick like T1D tattoo that he has that actually looks pretty cool.
Is that the medical thing that he has?
Yeah, I think it's like the what are the medical cross or whatever it is. I think it looks pretty sweet.
I thought that was for his dad because his dad's a doctor.
But I think it says like underneath it or something. It has like T1D underneath it. It's Jordan Morris, striker for the Seattle Sounders football club here in Seattle.
I interviewed a guy from Bloodworks Northwest once upon a time about just blood typing and stuff and just trying to raise awareness for donating blood.
Yeah.
And he came in and he was like, I finally got my first tattoo at the tattoo convention a couple of years back.
Oh, yeah.
At the tattoo convention, the Seattle Tattoo Expo or whatever it is. I was there with Bloodworks trying to help let people know now that the law has changed in across a lot of the U.S. now that if it is a licensed tattoo shop, if you travel or you get a tattoo or whatever, it doesn't you don't have to worry about taking 2 years off of donating blood. Yeah. You can still. So he was there, and one of the tattoo artists was like, "Let's get you a tattoo." And he was like, "I don't know." And he was like, "Well, let's get something blood related." So he got his blood type on his arm next to where you might take blood from somebody.
Oh, that's pretty
and I
cool.
was like, "That's a pretty good idea," because up until they did my blood test for me that day while we were doing this interview on air, I didn't know what my blood type was. You know yours?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's because every time I donate, they call me for 3 years afterwards.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm O negative, which is universal donor. So,
damn, Pete Steele right here, man. That's cool.
What are you?
I'm B minus. I know it's not minus; it's negative. But I think about what my grade point average was in college. That's how
it's
I
like your blood's fine, you know, it's not great. Yeah. Like it's good enough. Like you'll graduate.
Oddly, the thing is that they don't have, because I'm I'm 12% of the population has B negative or something like that. That they rarely actually have B negative blood in the bank. It's like they try to get type O people to donate the most, and AB is the other one I think that they're real big on. But because they have, I think they just tell me that to make me feel special so that I'll donate, but
Speaking of blood types, just a tangent. I just did a 23andMe.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, and I don't know my biological father. So like the real reason I did it was because I was like, look, I want to find out like my I want to find out if there's some sort of like butt crack cancer that I should be aware of coming down in the future that is a hereditary thing, but I don't know what my hereditary is. And you learn so much stuff about yourself just from like your little, it's not a blood test, it's like you spit into a little tube and then you send it in the mail, and then like a month or no, it's like 2 months later when you forget that you even did that, they're like,
yeah,
you have six cousins in England, and you're like, ah, sick.
One of them recently passed.
What? Oh, no.
David Beckham sends his regards.
Is he going to stand in line for 12 hours waiting to see my cousin who died?
We're speaking about the Queen of England, obviously, and that was crazy that David Beckham was just there as a civilian, just waiting in line like everyone else. And
yeah.
I imagine
looking
it's fun
much
at first.
More handsome than everybody else, though.
But I'm sure it's fun at first where you're like talking to people there, and then like 6.5 hours have gone by, and you're like, all right, Nancy, like, I'm tired of talking to you. Leave me alone. And like 3 hours later, you're like, oh, I'm so bored. Nancy, are you? I'm sorry.
Nancy's a Liverpool fan. The other thing about that is like, it seems pretty cool when like the media is all like, oh, David Beckham standing in line and he looks all dapper. He looks like a freaking Peaky Blinder with his hat on and he looks all great. He's using an umbrella as a cane because he's English and that's what they do. And then like they show him actually in the chapel or whatever it is where he's honoring or like paying his respects to the queen, and he just looks like the most disheveled dad in the history of disheveled dads. Like his hair is everywhere, his suit is probably just disgustingly sweaty. But like, so anyway, it's crazy what you learn from this, because like it was like you're not an endurance athlete, you're a sprinter, you're like you're better at like these kinds of workouts probably. And I was like, dang. Like, now I have excuses for, like, why I don't like to go on runs with people. And it's like, and you probably crapped your pants in fifth grade and lied about it by throwing yourself in the mud. And I'm like, how do you know?
It knows too much. On an all-new Is This True or Fiction? Brandon regales us with the stories of fifth grade pants pooping.
Yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Here's a concerning headline from Sky News, which is gross in itself, I get it, but scientists have proposed a controversial plan to refreeze the North and South Poles by spraying sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere over there. It's the old, like, spray the grass green to make it look better trick in the off-season, only for the poles of the Earth. And it got me to thinking about it, and, like, I'm sure this is a pretty easy answer, but, like, I don't know. What's our deal with this type of problem solving where we're not like, okay, the thing that's leading to the awful problem, let's cut that out. Instead, we're like, no. Instead of changing our behavior that's doing something negative, let's just do something else to cover it up.
Yeah.
Like, what's something else poisonous sounding that we could do to solve this problem? So, you know, we could spray sulfur dioxide into the air, and that'll do it, right? And I'm sure people who study the sciences and stuff can, like, make an argument for or against, but, like, it seems like it would be a lot more effective to cut out the bad behaviors. But then you have to get everyone to agree.
It kind of seems, which historically is super easy, it kind of seems like you're gonna use this sulfur dioxide to refreeze the poles, and then it's gonna turn out that the way that we extract sulfur dioxide is, of course, incredibly wasteful and, like, energy dependent, which just makes the poles go, like, melt faster. But then I'm hearing, like, in England, right now, speaking of my cousins over there, and my dead queen cousin, so, like, in England, they're having, like, they're rationing right now, like, how much water you're actually able to use at your personal residence because they're having a bunch of issues with, like, the primary water company over there and all this stuff, right? And they had a ridiculously hot summer and all of this stuff, which is, again, one of the reasons that we should apparently... Hot queen summer. Too hot. And they raised the question, is like, well, look, we need water. The poles are melting. Just take some of that water and put it over there.
I mean, crazier things, right? Like,
it's like, man, humans don't drink enough water. Well, the poles aren't melting fast enough.
that's what it is. Like, let's accelerate that.
Yeah, all that. I mean, and then, like, they're going to be melting. It's going to be fresh water, right? Because salt water doesn't freeze quite as easily, right? And so these poles.
Yeah,
are
but
be-
I feel like they. It's like becomes brackish really quickly. It goes, like, from the as it melts into the ocean, and then the ocean is full of salt. And
yeah. But what if we just, like, put cups at the bottom?
Yeah. Just at the bottom of the melting part, you just have a cup.
Right.
Yeah, maybe big just cups. cut a groove so you could just take turns filling up a cup there, and then, like,
perfect.
And then, like, someone's peeing on the North Pole, and you're like, no, now we have to wait.
Well, and, like, isn't the whole other problem, like, realistically, they're like, oh, it's because they're melting so fast that we need to put the sulfur dioxide up in the atmosphere in order to get them to freeze, when in reality what the scientists know is that actually there's, like, these secret dinosaurs that have been frozen underneath these ice caps for so long, and that they need to freeze them, because as soon as these dinosaurs get out, we're getting into some serious, like, Godzilla territory, and they're going to come destroy, you know, I don't know, Norway, whatever the furthest north. Maybe they're trolls. Maybe that's what it is. These trolls have been, like, frozen like titans for centuries under the poles, and we're trying to just keep them in there, but they're like, oh, no, it's because of climate change. It's like, no, it's because of the trolls.
Well, I'm glad that we could take time to anger another group of scientists. Welcome, paleontologists and trollologists, I suppose.
Trolldologists.
Oh, thank you. So what is that about our nature where we just, like, do something? Is it just to take action, or is it because we let stupid people do things, or some sort of combination? I'm sure whoever came up with this has, like, some sort of, I shouldn't be so sure, but I would hope that whoever came up with it has some sort of science to back the idea that, like, this will help us refreeze the poles and then things will get better,
What if we just hold a freezer open above of them?
What if we all just hold a mirror for an hour a day pointed back at the sun, and so we just shoot some of that energy back? Well, that's gotta work, right?
Screw you, sun!
Yeah! The sun was destroyed that day.
It just looks like the Earth becomes a Death Star and shoots a laser toward the sun.
Hey, are you an audiobook listener?
I'm barely a reader, but when I do read, I don't do it via audiobook.
Project Hail Mary, for anyone who's interested in this conversation that we're having, where something happens that they have to
blow up the sun.
No, it's like the effectively the sun's not working as well as it needs to be, and so everything is immediately cooling off to the point where the humans can't live on the earth anymore, and they have like a short amount of time to figure out how to solve the problem. And it's fascinating, the problem solving that comes along with it. But one of the things that they do to try and make things better is one of these ideas that, like, I know, let's just nuke the whales, that'll solve it. And then, like, the whales are like,
wait,
us? No.
Well, so, we just lost our queen. Why are you doing this?
China sent a rover to the moon to scoop up some of the moon dirt that's there, and then they somehow shot it back to Earth. I didn't really bother doing the research. Shocking. Didn't really bother doing the research on how they got it off the moon and back here. But
this, you've just described some sort of like Mexican standoff between like the Earth and the moon and the sun, where we're holding like a bunch of mirrors at the sun trying to shoot sun lasers back at it, and the sun is, and then like the moon is shooting moon dirt back at Earth, and then the sun is just trying to bake us both. It's like it's I want to see that comic. If you're a listener who knows how to draw, please draw this.
Great. Well, I'm glad that you understood exactly what I was saying, so that's really good. It means I'm a good communicator, definitely worthy of not being overlooked in the future. So when they sifted through this soil, I don't know if it's called soil, if it comes from there, it's like moon sand or whatever.
Yeah.
They found a newly discovered crystal that we've never discovered here on Earth. Can't wait for Bezos to shoot off his dick rocket and a billionaire spiritual gurus up there to turn the moon into the next like Sedona, Arizona, because that's coming. Oh, it's so spiritual. Oh, do you feel the energy? Wow.
Sounds like they're going to turn it more into like a Sierra Leone and find a moon blood diamond.
So, they also found something else up there that's called helium-3, and I guess that helps make nuclear energy or something, so that's a positive for rich people trying to colonize like the solar system, which is actually beneficial to us that I won't get into now. But I like to, like, with that helium-3, I like to imagine the astronauts are up there bouncing around with extra squeaky voices, being like, hey, hey!
So in Chinese.
Bring your crystals! But in Chinese.
Helium-3, it sounds like, is that like the sequel to helium-1 and helium-2? Like
what we're obviously not qualified because we only know about one.
Yeah, helium-3 makes your voice like way lower.
hello.
But this sexy helium.
I guess the I can't remember what the name of the stuff was that the crystal that they found is like a thing that you could discover somewhere else. It's like a silicate. It's not like it's like revolutionary or whatever. But the fact that they found these crystals that they haven't discovered on Earth is pretty cool, that we've like now officially sent a probe somewhere to find something that we don't have here. And maybe it's happened on Mars before, but I don't know. I just like that. I have mad respect for like, we have all this like xenophobia, mad respect for xenophobia, obviously.
Solid, yeah.
No, but we have all this like xenophobia about all these different cultures and the ways that people do stuff, as if we're like innocent from doing any of it. We just like have this pedestal where like, the Chinese are terrible because of here, or the Muslims are terrible because of this. We are great, obviously. We made America even greater than it ever was just a few years ago, and so we're really good. And those other people who probably smell really bad and eat weird things, and they wipe their butts with their hands or whatever, those people are terrible. We're great. And the idea that, like, that we're going to fight a war over, like, we'll find stuff that are like, oh, we can make nuclear weapons on the moon. Let's fight a war over that instead of just being like, the Earth is dying, so we need moon people now. If anything, the moon people and the Earth people should totally fight.
Dude, can you imagine?
Also, I'm not pro xenophobia. That was all tongue in cheek. I think clear that I am pro everyone getting along. Anyway,
yeah.
Can I imagine?
Can you like as bad as, you know, I'm not like, I'm not going to be a guy that's stoked about war. I don't think war is good. Hot take: war bad. but like a space war, like, but not like a space war like Star Wars where you got X-wings and TIE fighters going choo 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 choo. More like a bunch of dudes jumping around on the moon like a big trampoline, but with laser guns.
Because it has to be lasers, because you need something that the output on it doesn't create a kick.
Yeah.
So that way you don't shoot it and go,
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you'd have to have, like, a space battle, but, like, everybody... It's like those trampoline places where you can play dodgeball.
Yeah.
You know, where you get to jump and you can do all these crazy throws and dodges that you can't do when you're just playing, like, dodgeball in a gym where you're, like, dislocating your knee because of how you're jumping and stuff. And instead, you're, like, on the moon jumping and, like, doing sick, like, 360. I mean, there's got to be a movie, right? Like, there's got to be a movie about this.
Space War has been canceled.
Star Wars? No, Space Wars.
I feel good about this potential movie because I'm team hold a mirror up, and yeah. So you're shooting lasers at me, and I'm like, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew. Now, this race is a very interesting question, though.
Yes, please.
Like, Star Wars, I don't know how many planets... I'm sure this is, like, Googleable. I'm sure somebody's done this, right? Like, I don't know how many planets are used as settings as the backdrop of the Star Wars. And the one thing that I've learned from you, of the many things I've learned from you, is that planets are pretty different. And so, like, the fact that all of these planets that they visit in all of these movies are basically the same amount of gravity and, like, the same amount of stuff, even though the planets are, like, wildly different in the species that grow on these planets. Like, the fact that Wookiees that grew to the size that they did while, you know, Ewoks grew to the size that they did. I'm not saying, like, yes, different species exist, all of that, but usually these species are determined by so many factors, environmental factors, right?
Yeah. And,
I mean, one of the environmental factors that affects everybody on the planet is gravity. And the fact that, like, we don't have a lot of Jedi sword, like, you know, sword fighting on anti, you know, very low gravity, or even better, like, extra high gravity planets.
Like, you just see the blade coming, but you know you can't react in time, so it just very slowly cuts through your face. And it's your, like, head that, just falls into two pieces.
That guy that gets cut, maybe that's why they didn't shoot any on, like, a high gravity planets. Not that they shot them on any planets. It's all done. It's not real. But, like, I feel like we could have gotten really, like, they could have gotten super creative with, like, all, like, maybe, I mean, maybe they just didn't talk about it. Like, Obi-Wan was able to jump as high as he did in certain planets, and also, like, the reason that Luke and Vader in the first movies fought so slowly compared to the laser sword whipping of Anakin Skywalker in the prequels is because the gravity was harder.
Yeah, so if they fight on Jupiter, it's not that there's a surface there, but sure. It's like almost three times the gravity that we experience there. I'm kind of looking. Mars is like half, so maybe you could, like, double speed it and just have, like, crazy, like, super fast battles. I'm into this. I like this idea.
Let's see. How many planets are mentioned in Star Wars? Now, the Galactic Republic represented about 1.3 million planets around the prequel times. But I'm just wondering, like, how many did they actually mention?
Yeah, it's got to be less. I mean, like, in terms of the expanded everything, it's got to be less than 1,000.
Yeah.
And then it's likely only in them.
Following is a list of fictional planets set in the Star Wars universe, total of 460 planets.
Okay.
And that's just the ones that are mentioned or talked about. I mean, they talk about the fact that there's millions of planets within the Galactic Empire's reign or something like that.
Just imagine, like, how many senators that takes to, like, police over all of that. Like,
yeah.
It's, like, so unrealistic that they have, like, that big Senate chamber and there's all those seats and everything. That's still only, like, 1,000 places. It's,
yeah,
like, you still have millions more that just can't be present or whatever. Or...
Maybe they're, like, padding their stats a little bit. Like, I learned recently, like, if you go to, like, WWE will be like, there were 60,000 people in the stadium, but they're counting, like, the people who are serving the beer and the concessions and, like, the people who set up and tore down the stage and stuff like that. Maybe they're like 1.3 million planets, but half the planets are Jupiter or, like, uninhabitable or, like, Pluto. You know, they're like, it's a planet, I swear.
It's the forest moon of Endor. Count that and the planet Endor.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah, I'm on to you. Yeah, regardless, though, it's a good thought starter to figure out. And what's cool about that is you can just, if you want to write your own, or you want to be a writer for Star Wars or whatever, you can just make another planet and go for it.
Yeah.
And I like that there's, the way that we suspend disbelief in that galaxy, that there must be very similar, all the planets involved must have pretty similar geology.
Yeah.
Because everyone kind of breathes okay and everything. If you want to read Fascinating, I've talked about it many, many times with the Expanse series. It's the best audiobook series, just hands down. And it really spends a lot more time talking about like the considerations for space travel and for like colonizing planets and stuff. Like when you show up and like the people that grew up in space, they've been in space for a couple hundred years. The people that lived in space their whole lives have different shaped bodies and heads and stuff because you don't have the constraints of gravity. And then they don't do well when they have to go planet side because they have to like live with, you know, they spin a rock up so that way it gives you 1/6 gravity. But then you go down to somewhere that has 1.8 gravity and like those people, like their knees buckle because they can't handle it because they just don't have the tenets for it.
They look like my 8-month-old that's trying to learn how to walk whose head is way too heavy for his body.
Only elongated out like he's like an alien from the Alien versus Predator or whatever, and then you got it. Yeah.
Now, one thing that you have to think about when you're colonizing space, right, is not only taking food with you in order to do the travels, and this is actually a Star Wars tie-in as well, because when you first see Luke in one of the new sequel movies for Star Wars, when you first see him, he's just like sitting there like suckling milk at the teat of a massive, like, I don't know, brontosaurus looking thing on some crazy distant planet. And like you got to learn a full-on animal husbandry again of like these new alien species. You'd be like, and like what if you land on a planet, like, right, say humans weren't on this planet right now, or like we were but we were a little bit less advanced, and like an alien landed here and like saw a cow and then like saw a chicken and then they saw like a baby, right,
and like a Buick,
a Buick or like a human baby, and they were like, which of these things do we milk, right?
Or like what happens when you squeeze this thing, or like what?
Yeah,
part of our advantages as mammals is that we see like you see a pregnant female human and you're like, I squeeze these things and food comes out, and they're like, well, that thing has those things, and you're like, okay. But if you're an alien and you're like, let's just kill all of them.
This is very much a opportunity for me to say, I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
I don't think that they're producing. But and when does it become?
Have you not seen Meet the Parents?
No, of course not.
Oh, come on, man. That's a perfect. Oh, it was the perfect reference, Greg.
Don't try movie references around me, dude. I mean, it's just
if there was if I've ever made a good reference in anything, which is very rare. That was the one. And so now I'm going to need you to go watch that movie and then come back here and record this podcast.
Two more things real quick. I want to hit up the this episode's question of the week.
Yeah, speaking of milk, what should we turn into milk? What else should we turn into milk? We already turned a lot of things into milk. Like, should we squeeze a chicken so hard that it becomes milk?
Yes is the answer.
What is this? This is chicken milk. I didn't know you could milk a chicken. You can't.
No. It's the same way you make cashew milk. You soak it for a long time, and then you squeeze it. You're going to need some cheesecloth.
Oh, dude, you don't even have to. Just instead of doing a chicken, just do a duck. You don't have to soak it. It's already in the water.
That splash of milk that's in your coffee, or let's say your cereal. I heard like a few people talking about how they eat cereal with water.
Oh.
That blows my mind. I want to try it before I get too up my own ass about it, but yeah.
You pour.
No, it was like John Green, I think, like the John and Hank Green, the creators, those guys. Anyway, as all the ways that you would use milk, that the milks that you would use or whatever, could soon be synthesized using yeast in place of cows, or I guess cashews or whatever it is. It's there's a process that's used to make insulin for diabetics that can now make a milk substitute. I guarantee you they can't get the texture wrong, and it's super, super weird.
Yeah.
But you could stop crushing your nuts and chug down this big glass of yeast milk. There's a commenter, though, that I don't really know the ins and outs of this, but there's a commenter that really got my attention on, because I was like, this sounds really weird. And this person is called Shaved Wookie on Reddit, says, quote, what are the odds of it being weirder than something a robot sucked out of the many teats of thousands of selectively bred half-ton beasts, meaning a cow dairy farm where they're just robots sucking away on cow boobs? Okay, and then before mixing it into a big soup, boiling it, bottling it, and sending it off to stores, though, be careful to keep it chilled, blindly trusting that it was, knowing that even if the gut flora you've cultivated, I think I said Florida, the gut flora you've cultivated. To-
No wonder the bacteria is so smelly.
Know that even the gut flora you've cultivated to process that strange brew won't save you from getting sick if it got too warm for too long. It is pretty f***ed up that we, that we do that past like infancy, that we're still like suckling away on these things, and then to the point where we're like, we need to be more efficient. Let's make it like less human and just hook these robot pumps up to these cow boobs and then feed them garbage and just keep sucking away or whatever. And then do all that other stuff so that way we can drink it. Maybe it isn't so weird that we would make a synthetic out of yeast.
It's weird. So there's this show called Chef's Table where you can go on. It's on Netflix. It's like a cooking show, but it's not like a traditional cooking show. They go find different chefs from different, you know, they like the most recent series that I'm watching is all about pizza. They interview 6 different pizza chefs and all of the things that they make and like what fuels them and their story and all of that and like why their pizza is different and cool and whatever. Well, this one guy is like super into making sure that all of his ingredients are great, like just the perfect ingredients. He goes to the farms, he goes checks all this stuff out, right? Well, this like this just one tiny little scene. It's like a cutaway, throwaway scene where he's just like
sniffing a butt crack.
Sniffing a butt crack. He's a vampire for sure. You know, I've never heard that part of canon where vampires is like, yeah, okay, they can't walk in daylight. Okay, they can turn into bats. They sniff butt crack. Wait, what was that last one?
I'm sorry. What? Well, for freshness.
Yeah. They got a test to
for
make
ripeness.
Sure.
Come on.
Is that human ripe or not?
I mean, they're still humanoids. They're not monsters. That they just it just sucks that they have to live
we
off
have
of blood.
Preferences, okay.
He's college educated.
Your butt isn't smelly enough for me. Okay, is it so weird?
Well, you'll ripen up in time. It's fine.
Here, eat this haichu. No, but like there's a scene that's where he's like at this goat farm and the dude is like, hey, want a drink? And he just grabs one of these goat's teats and like turns it and sprays it into his mouth. And then he sprays it into his nose mouth. I'm like, look, the idea right now, if you were like, Greg, if you were like, hey, I'm going to go get a glass of goat milk, I'd be like, all right, cool. Like, I don't drink goat milk, but like, whatever. Like, that's fine. But if you were like, I'm going to go squeeze a goat's bladder or udder, not so it's not a bladder.
Like, if the prize goat just came walking in right now and I was like, prize goat, get over here. And then it was like,
yeah. Exactly. Like that's like it is a weird like I mean my son is still breastfeeding right now and I'm like, okay, it's a strange phenomenon, but it's also very natural because that's the way that like children of all mammal species are reared, right? Like they drink the milk. Now, like the thought of him doing that off of a cow is very strange. Yet
a baby cow doing it would be fine though.
Yeah, exactly. Like here we are. I eat cheese. I eat all of these dairy products. I'm not saying like as a, you know, vegan or a person who's like, don't do the weird thing of eating the cow's boob milk. But it is weird when you think about it. I mean, but you can also overthink anything and it's going to be weird.
Yeah. I mean, like someone would probably try and tell you that squeezing a chicken until you got milk is not okay. But like,
right.
Here
and
I am to tell you.
It's fine. A lot of people are going to tell you that a vampire sniffing your butt crack is weird, but it's not. It's just
not
how
weird to them.
Exactly. Come on. Like, open your mind, people. I thought we were a tolerant liberal society.
Well, let's end on a positive note, Brandon, you know, to balance out all of the butt sniffing that you are just real, real into this episode. This one's for you, buddy.
Okay.
Researchers leaning on the AI of modern programming are steering towards a future where we might one day understand the song of the beautiful, wise voice of the ocean, the whale. Brandon's tattoo starts to tingle. And then his wiener.
It starts talking to me. No, they're not.
Hey Brandon. Except, how about a haichu?
It's a vampire. Oh, no. I got to start my left hand now.
God damn. Anyway, so this team of scientists thinks that they can put together, like, there's, you know, the always-on nature of machines means that we can better track what's happening, and then without all the, you know, data pollution of humans and their sleepiness or horniness or whatever, like just distractions getting in the way. Basically, we're learning how to make the best killing machine. We're just collecting all the data, figuring out how things work without it knowing that we're there, without any fault, and then being able to learn how to apply it or whatever. But we can use it for good, too. From an article at The Guardian that talks all about this in depth. Nevertheless, scientific attempts to communicate with animals are also fraught with gimmicks, eccentrics. The researcher who injected LSD into one of his study dolphins discredited the field for years. I'm like, wait, what now? Someone injected a dolphin with LSD? Now that is top-notch effed up. Like, that's like, that is messed up, but you got any footage of that? Because that is...
I want to see what a dolphin who is tripping balls did.
But honestly, I want the AI to be able to detect what the whale song is. And how come we don't know yet? Like, I read somewhere that cats only learned how to meow in order to communicate with humans, that they don't naturally meow. They hiss and they make noises or whatever to fight one another, but they don't go meow. And I'm like, hi, Peanut. And he's like, meow. And then he comes over and I pat him, right? That's like purely done to appease us, the people that will provide them with food and maybe some companionship if they choose so. But like the notion that there's complicated song from animals with big brains that could potentially be like, if an orangutan can be taught sign language,
yeah,
then there's complexity there for being able to understand things. Is it when it's making noises, are those noises actual language or is it just a simpler communication?
It's,
and if, you know, whales can communicate from 5 miles away or something like that. Like,
well, it's cool. And I'm curious, you know, not all, I guess almost all whales have a song of some sort, but like the intricacies, like having...
There's Kevin listening to death metal again. He just won't stop saying... Rawr, 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 rawr.
It's just whale Stein. like a humpback...
Why couldn't you have picked the Beatles like everyone else, you jerk?
The humpback whales actually have a song that is super long.
Barry White.
They have a very long song. No, that's a sperm whale.
Hey.
Hey-o. But they have a song that's super long, and it actually will repeat. And different pods or different you know, herds of these humpback whales will have distinct songs. So it's not like a species-wide thing where they all have a song that repeats. It's you know, this pod over here will have a song that is actually passed down generation to generation, and like it changes with each generation just a little bit, as like the teenage, you know, like the Gen X whales are like, yeet, and like all of a sudden that's part of the song, you know? And like
I am the keeper of the sea. Yeet that other crap out of here.
what is it the thing that they vomit that smells real nice?
Oh yeah,
or that they use in all of the perfume.
Ambergris,
right?
Damn, like, I learned something from the show, thanks.
Yeah,
Brandon.
Yeah, they're like, I am the king of the sea, I will yeet that ambergris. Well, these different pods of whales will, like, of humpbacks will get together and they'll sing their songs to each other, and then they will create like new songs together. So like they're understanding each other and actually conversing with each other despite singing completely different songs. That seems like a language, right? Like if an AI can get in there and listen to enough of it for long enough and understand, but like I think the difference is it has to understand and be able to track what the behaviors are that change as a result of the language, right? Like that's the whole point of language, is to convey ideas and to convey information. I'm wondering if the AI is going to be able to actually be able to, like, it's still going to have some sort of input, unless we're going to put in some robots that have this AI software in there that are going to like follow these whales around, and they're going to be like, what the hell is this thing following me around? It's like the AI is wondering. My biggest concern though is that the AI is like, and here's what they're saying, and it's like
death to the
like, no
no no no.
I'm more worried about them being like, did you see The Bachelorette? Like, you stupid whales. I dedicated my life to this. And this, you're watching that garbage too? I also don't know who watches that. I can't. It's blows my mind. Blows my mind that people still watch network television at all, let alone that. And I know people could say that about radio.
I mean,
anyway,
I got real mad
real fast there.
What if the whale is like, have you smelled that butt crack?
Not more vampire whales! Also, does it apply to dolphins? Because, like, I think Sequest did that back in the day, but, like, you have, like, a, you know, the they're like, no, dude, we can't get you any more, like...
LSD.
Yeah, like, good God, man.
The dolphin's like, are you guys seeing this right now?
He's just been doing that for, like, 10 straight minutes. All right, well, that brings us to yet another, really, the end of a really heady show, and it's time for, oh boy, another close out with, what did we learn this week? Yeah. Brandon, what did you learn this week?
I learned that apparently not all humans are ripe. Gregor, what did you learn this
week? Never thought about it that way, right? Never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, I'm sure, like, vampires... You know, they want that good blood. Maybe they want the type O. Maybe they want the B minus. I don't know.
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if that a group of whales, what was it? Did you say humpbacks get together?
Yeah, humpbacks will do it. I bet you other ones do it as well. But yeah,
humpbacks. We know that humpbacks get together and they'll share their new songs and make new songs and use new language like the word yeet. If sperm whales get together, did they skeet skeet skeet?
Suck. I hate that. I hate that so much. Nerd talk, talking
about Nerd Talk, yeah! Thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus. We really appreciate you hanging out. We do it live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app, and thanks for finding this on demand on the Odyssey app as well, or wherever you get your podcast provider. I'm Gregor, he's Brandon. Have a good week!
If you need to know where the first Starbucks is, you can ask me.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two more things real quick. I want to hit up the this episode's question of the week.
Yeah, speaking of milk, what should we turn into milk? What else should we turn into milk? We already turned a lot of things into milk. Like, should we squeeze a chicken so hard that it becomes milk?
Yes is the answer.
This is chicken milk. I didn't know you could milk a chicken. You can't.
No, it's the same way you make cashew milk. You soak it for a long time and then you squeeze it. You're gonna need some cheesecloth.
Oh dude, you don't even have to, just instead of doing a chicken, just do a duck. You don't have to soak it, it's already in the water.
That splash of milk that's in your coffee, or let's say your cereal. I heard like a few people talking about how they eat cereal with water.
Oh,
that blows my mind. I want to try it before I get too up my own ass about it. But yeah,
you poor.
No, it was like John Green, I think, like the John and Hank Green, the creators of those guys. Anyway, as all the ways that you would use milk, that the milks that you would use or whatever, could soon be synthesized using yeast in place of cows. Or I guess cashews or whatever it is. It's there's a process that's used to make insulin for diabetics that can now make a milk substitute. I guarantee you they can't get the texture wrong and it's super, super weird.
Yeah.
But you could stop crushing your nuts and chug down this big glass of yeast milk. There's a commenter, though, that I don't really know the ins and outs of this, but there's a commenter that really got my attention on, because I was like, this sounds really weird. And this person is called Shaved Wookie on Reddit, says, quote, "What are the odds of it being weirder than something a robot sucked out of the many teats of thousands of selectively bred half-ton beasts?" Meaning a cow dairy farm where they're just robots sucking away on cow boobs. Okay, and then before mixing it into a big soup, boiling it, bottling it, and sending it off to stores, though, be careful to keep it chilled, blindly trusting that it was, knowing that even if the gut flora you've cultivated, I think I said Florida, the gut flora you've
My
cultivated.
Gut flora. No wonder the bacteria is so smelly.
Know that even the gut flora you've cultivated to process that strange brew won't save you from getting sick if it got too warm for too long. It is pretty f***ed up that we do that past, like, infancy, that we're still, like, suckling away on these things, and then to the point where we're like, we need to be more efficient. Let's make it, like, less human and just hook these robot pumps up to these cow boobs and then feed them garbage and just keep sucking away or whatever. And then do all that other stuff so that way we can drink it. Maybe it isn't so weird that we would make a synthetic out of yeast.
It's weird. So there's this show called Chef's Table where you can go on. It's on Netflix. It's like a cooking show, but it's not like a traditional cooking show. They go find different chefs from different, you know, they like the most recent series that I'm watching is all about pizza. They interview 6 different pizza chefs and all of the things that they make and like what fuels them and their story and all of that and like why their pizza is different and cool and whatever. Well, this one guy is like super into making sure that all of his ingredients are great, like just the perfect ingredients. He goes to the farms, he goes checks all this stuff out, right? Well, this like this just one tiny little scene. It's like a cutaway, throwaway scene where he's just like
sniffing a butt crack.
Sniffing a butt crack. He's a vampire for sure. You know, I've never heard that part of canon where vampires is like, yeah, okay, they can't walk in daylight. Okay, they can turn into bats. They sniff butt crack. Wait, what was that last one?
I'm sorry. What? Well, for freshness.
Yeah. They got a test to
for
make
ripeness.
Sure.
Come on.
Is that human ripe or not?
I mean, they're still humanoids. They're not monsters. That they just it just sucks that they have to live
we
off
have
of blood.
Preferences, okay.
He's college educated.
Your butt isn't smelly enough for me. Okay, is it so weird?
Well, you'll ripen up in time. It's fine.
Here, eat this haichu. No, but like there's a scene That's where he's cute. Like at this goat farm and the dude who's like, hey, want a drink? And he just grabs one of these goat's teats and like turns it and sprays it into his mouth, and then he sprays it into his nose mouth. I'm like, look, the idea right now, if you were like Gregor, if you were like, hey, I'm gonna go get a glass of goat milk, I'd be like, all right, cool, like I don't drink goat milk, but like whatever, like that's fine. But if you were like, I'm going to go squeeze a goat's bladder or udder, not it's not a bladder.
Like if the prize goat just came walking in right now and I was like, prize goat, get over here. And then it was like,
yeah. Exactly. Like that's like it is a weird, like I mean, my son is still breastfeeding right now and I'm like, okay, it's a strange phenomenon, but it's also very natural because that's the way that like children of all mammal species are reared, right? Like they drink the milk. Now, like the thought of him doing that off of a cow is very strange. Yet,
a baby cow doing it would be fine, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like here we are. I mean, I eat cheese. I eat all of these dairy products. I'm not saying like as a you know vegan or a person who's like don't do the weird thing of eating the cow's boob milk, but. But it is weird when you think about it. I mean, a lot, but like, you can also overthink anything and it's going to be weird.
Yeah, I mean, like someone would probably try and tell you that squeezing a chicken until you got milk is not okay. But like,
right.
Here
and
I am to tell you.
It's fine. And a lot of people are going to tell you that a vampire sniffing your butt crack is weird, but it's not. It's just
not
how
weird
they...
to them.
Exactly. Come on. Like, open your mind, people. I thought we were a tolerant, liberal society.
Well, let's end on a positive note, Brandon. You know, to balance out all of the butt sniffing that you... are just real, real into this episode. This one's for you, buddy.
Okay.
Researchers leaning on the AI of modern programming are steering towards a future where we might one day understand the song of the beautiful, wise voice of the ocean, the whale. Brandon's tattoo starts to tingle, and then his wiener.
It starts talking to me. No, they're not.
Hey Brandon, except, how about a haichu?
It's a vampire, oh no! I gotta start my left hand now.
God damn. Anyway, so this team of scientists thinks that they can put together, like, there's, you know, the always-on nature of machines means that we can better track what's happening, and then without all the, you know, data pollution of humans and their sleepiness or horniness or whatever, like, just distractions getting in the way. Basically, we're learning how to make the best killing machine. We're just collecting all the data, figuring out how things work without it knowing that we're there, without any fault, and then being able to learn how to apply it or whatever. But we can use it for good, too. From an article at The Guardian that talks all about this in depth. Nevertheless, scientific attempts to communicate with animals are also fraught with gimmicks, eccentrics. The researcher who injected LSD into one of his study dolphins discredited the field for years. I'm like, wait, what now? Someone injected a dolphin with LSD? Now that is top-notch effed up. Like, that's like, that is messed up, but you got any footage of that? Because that is...
I want to see what a dolphin who is tripping balls did.
But honestly, I want the AI to be able to detect what the whale song is. And how come we don't know yet? Like, I read somewhere that cats only learned how to meow in order to communicate with humans, that they don't naturally meow. They hiss and they make noises or whatever to fight one another, but they don't go meow. And I'm like, hi, Peanut. And he's like, meow. And then he comes over and I pat him, right? That's like purely done to appease us, the people that will provide them with food and maybe some companionship if they choose so. But like the notion that there's complicated song from animals with big brains that could potentially be like, if an orangutan can be taught sign language,
yeah,
then there's complexity there for being able to understand things. Is it, when it's making noises, are those noises actual language or is it just a simpler communication?
It's,
and if, you know, whales can communicate from 5 miles away or something like that. Like,
well, it's cool. And I'm curious, you know, not all, I guess almost all whales have a song of some sort, but like the intricacies, like having...
There's Kevin listening to death metal again. He just won't stop saying... Rah, 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 rah.
It's just Whalestein. like a humpback.
Why couldn't you have picked the Beatles like everyone else, you jerk?
The humpback whales actually have a song that is super long.
Very white.
They have a very long song. No, that's a sperm whale.
Hey.
Hey-o. But they have a song that's super long, and it actually will repeat. And different pods or different, you know, herds of these humpback whales will have distinct songs. So it's not like a species-wide thing where they all have a song that repeats. It's you know, this pod over here will have a song that is actually passed down generation to generation, and like it changes with each generation just a little bit, as like the teenage, you know, like the Gen X whales are like yeet, and like all of a sudden that's part of the song, you know. And like
I am the keeper of the sea. Yeet that other crap out of here.
What is it? What is it? The thing that they vomit that smells real nice?
Oh yeah,
or that they use in all of the perfume?
Ambergris.
Ambergris, right?
Damn, like, I learned something from the show. Thanks,
yeah.
Brandon.
Yeah, they're like, I am the king of the sea. I will yeet that ambergris. Well, these different pods of whales will, like, of humpbacks will get together and they'll sing their songs to each other, and then they will create like new songs together. So like they're understanding each other and actually conversing with each other despite singing completely different songs. That seems like a language, right? Like if an AI can get in there and listen to enough of it for long enough and understand, but like I think the difference is it has to understand and be able to track what the behaviors are that change as a result of the language, right? Like that's the whole point of language, is to convey ideas and to convey information. So I'm wondering if the AI is going to be able to actually be able to, like, it's still going to have some sort of input, unless we're going to put in some robots that have this AI software in there that are going to, like, follow these whales around, and they're going to be like, what the hell is this thing following me around? It's like the AI is wondering. My biggest concern, though, is that the AI is like, and here's what they're saying, and it's like,
death to the
like, no!
No, no, no!
I'm more worried about them being like, did you see The Bachelorette? And like, you stupid whales. I dedicated my life to this. And this, you're watching that garbage too? I also don't know who watches that. I can't. It's blows my mind. Blows my mind that people still watch network television at all, let alone that. And I know people could say that about radio.
I mean,
anyway,
I got
real fast there.
What if the whale is like, have you smelled that butt crack?
Not more vampire whales! Also, does it apply to dolphins? Because, like, I think Sequest did that back in the day, but, like, you have, like, a, you know, they're like, no, dude, we can't get you any more, like,
LSD.
Yeah, like, good God, man.
The dolphin's like, are you guys seeing this right now?
He's just been doing that for, like, 10 straight minutes. All right, well, that brings us to yet another, really, the end of a really heady show, and it's time for, oh boy, another close out with, what did we learn this week? Yeah. Brandon, what did you learn this week?
I learned that apparently not all humans are ripe. Gregor, what did you learn this
Never
week?
Never thought about it that way, right? Never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, I'm sure, like, vampires, you know, they want that good blood. Maybe they want the type O. Maybe they want the B minus. I don't know.
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if that a group of whales, what was it? Did you say humpbacks get together?
Yeah, humpbacks will do it. I bet you other ones do it as well, but yeah.
Humpbacks. We know that humpbacks get together and they'll share their new songs and make new songs and use new language like the word yeet. If sperm whales get together, did they skeet, skeet, skeet?
Stop. I hate that. I hate that so much. Nerd talk, talking
about nerd talk, yeah! Thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus. We really appreciate you hanging out. We do it live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app. And thanks for finding this on demand on the Odyssey app as well, or wherever you get your podcast provider. I'm Gregor. He's Brandon. Have a good week.
If you need to know where the first Starbucks is, you can ask me.